says tomorrow is not just today.
Hello, my name is Tristan Nieslein, and this is Tomorrow's Motorsport, a podcast looking at the future of the motorsport industry through the eyes of changemakers and the experts who are shaping it. A few months ago, I caught up with Airspeeder, who are innovating motorsport in the air. Speaking with Stephen Sidlow, their head of media, we heard about their technology development approach to racing and how the series aims to transform flying personal mobility and services. With me, as always, is Nick Butcher. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Tris. How are you doing this week?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you? What's been going on in your world?
Yeah, no, lots going on in our world, which I'm sure people who are following the podcast and following our Instagram page will be seeing. We have an event at Red Bull coming up at the end of next month, which is a business leaders roundtable, and we're hosting that at Red Bull Racing's factory in Milton Keynes. So if people are interested in finding out more about that, then obviously head over to our Instagram page at Ignition Perform.
So Nick, this week we're speaking with Stephen at Airspeeder. Airspeeder are definitely an example of a new series that are based in electrification and looking to popularize really different methods of personal mobility. If you think about E1, the e-scooter championship, even Robo Race and autonomous racing. I take it you've been looking at these. So what's your view on them?
It's a big topic, this, isn't it? We're seeing a new era in motorsport that I suppose started from Formula E and has obviously gone into Extreme E. And now we have, with Airspeeder, we have I don't know if people remember the old PlayStation game Wipeout, but it's not getting far from that. It's flying cars, which I never thought we would see. And it's been done in a very sustainable way, which obviously we'll see more with your interview later on. But this, to me, and I don't know how you feel about this, this is changing the way we look at motorsport and the traditional model of the traditional through from F4 to F1, or you know all the different ways with the WEC and different avenues to elite motorsport. So it'll be interesting to see what Stephen says, because it's a big talk and it changes a lot of things,
I think, by design as well. And do you think it's making traditional motorsport seem a little bit outdated? I mean, let's not do them a disservice. There's always been a kind of track to road development pathway there. But what these new series seem to be doing is they seem to be introducing and saying, this is the way of transportation in the future. And with Airspeeder, Stephen talks about the application in, you know, Amazon deliveries to your garden being utilizing flying car type vehicles and things like that. So it feels like these are really shaping that ecosystem.
I think it's going to also raise the question of what do you need from a driver, and what will they be doing? So for example, do you as a young driver pick the traditional route towards the more traditional motorsport such as Formula One, or do you go down another route and suddenly you're doing a lot around sim work? You've obviously got esports, which is a massive part, and actually looking at Airspeeder and the way that they are delivering the racing, you would say that's probably much more on the esports side. I mean, really interesting to obviously hear what Stephen says later on regarding that, but you will need different skill sets for that. So suddenly it takes motorsport, where there was probably one traditional path, probably takes you on two, maybe even three, four paths if you're looking to get into motorsport. That's the thing. When you look at it and say, well, I want to get into motorsport, what does that actually mean? And I think that's really the interesting point for me, is it just opens up so many more different avenues, doors. You know, I'm guessing we'll see a much more diverse range of drivers as part of this. So, yeah, it will be incredible to see how they move this forward and deliver it. Because certainly if you turned around to me a couple of years ago and said, Nick, we're going to see effectively flying cars racing. I don't think I'd quite have an answer for you, if I'm honest. I really think that would have been resigned to the PlayStation.
Yeah, it does seem a bit sci-fi. But to pick up on, I think, a really good point that you made there, I think it's democratizing people getting into motorsport. It can't help but make it cheaper. More series means more opportunities. I think the kind of approach to these series is designed to make the vehicles kind of standardized, which is obviously going to showcase talent in drivers, but that means less cost. And I think it means that esports blurring the lines to actual motorsport are becoming even more blurry, and that's only a good thing, as we've seen with other drivers who have made that step change from esports into real motorsport. And I think the more series like this that can promote it, it's no bad thing for getting people into the industry.
Yeah, and also, you know, you raised the point about the commercial side. There's also going to be a lot more variety when you look at how industries are supporting the motorsport industry, whether that's to promote their brand, whether that's to be a provider of a particular part or area like that. You're going to be seeing a lot more people involved at different cost levels. It really opens up the pathway for more inclusion, which is incredible. And you know, interestingly, of course, with Airspeeder, how the different industries cross over, and what we will then see moving forward in different areas of our own lives, because as we know, when you have elite motorsports, it always filters down into what we do day to day ultimately. So yeah, this is really exciting, and I hope people enjoy the conversation with Stephen, because this could be the future of motorsport in some form, at least
the future of motorsport, and also all sorts of real world applications. So let's not spare the horses. We'll go over to Stephen now. Thanks, Nick.
This is tomorrow's motorsport.
So I'm joined today by Stephen Sidlow, the head of media for Airspeeder.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to have you, and it's a real pleasure to talk about a brand new motorsport series that's going to be with us very soon. Do you want to give us a bit of an introduction to who you are?
Yes, I'm Stephen Sidlow. I'm head of media for Airspeeder. So I look after all media marketing operations for Airspeeder. I'm formerly of RoboRace, which is the autonomous racing series, and Arrival as well, which is the electric van company out in the UK. Worked in sport most of my life, but on the broadcast and digital side of things. And I'm here at Airspeeder to help create the world's first flying car racing series. So Airspeeder is a new flying car racing series. It is a new sport coming to market in the next 2 to 3 years. These are 4 meter length octocopters piloted by humans. They'll be racing anywhere between 100 and 200 kilometers an hour around circuits in the sky, with AR and VR immersive ways to watch it. It's effectively Formula One in the sky, fully electric, and the races will be across the Arctic or the desert or the sea. And yeah, we've built them. With our sister company, Alauda. So Alauda Aeronautics out in Australia. So they've been building iterations over the last 4 to 5 years. And now we're in sort of the run up now to launching. So yeah, really exciting.
When you think flying cars, you think somewhere down in science fiction futures, I think of the Jetsons, But this is now really coming to life, as you say, in the next two to three years. What's the ambition behind setting up a flying car series like this? What are you hoping that will change?
Well, there's quite a lot I think could change. There's what we think the technology and the sport will encourage to change. You look at in the past, between the time between the Wright brothers lifting off with paper aeroplanes to landing on the moon was, I think, something like, you know, 50 to 70 years. And we're in that next phase now. So for us, the ambition is to accelerate this new industry of airborne transportation or delivery systems. So we look at things like drone delivery systems like Amazon or any other garden variety. So I must mention all of them that may deliver your, you know, package to your garden, or it's air taxis, which are big, cumbersome taxis that you may not drive, but you may travel into a conference, for example, or something else across the city. So all of that technology, all of the systems in place there need to be tested within a sandbox environment, and we're better than a competition and a race. So we have it with Formula One or with Le Mans, and all of these automotive systems are rigorously pushed to the extreme. So we feel that we can do exactly the same for this new industry coming in with airborne transportation.
You say it's a couple of years away. How are you kind of preparing and getting ready? What's the process from, I guess, the conceptualization of a new motorsport series like this through to launch? What are some of the things that you're kind of doing?
This is the exciting part, and you just have to stop for 5 minutes, I think, to realize this is the bit. So with Allouda from 2016, when Matt devised Allouda as a company to get airborne, we've been tinkering, we've been testing, we've been flying, and between then and today, we're doing tests, hover tests, which you can see on our social channels, and testing Allouda have been testing quite rigorously out in the sticks in Australia. But behind the scenes, Airspeeder, we're building a new sport may look like. So that includes everything from the pilots, the infrastructure, speaking to cities and locations around the world, devising how and what the racetrack will look like, taking research from our favorite games as kids, like Wipeout, or favorite movies as kids and teenagers, as Blade Runner and Tron, and how do we bring that XR to life? Because I think the technology is within broadcast, just to digress here, the technology within broadcast has moved light years within the last 5 years. And so we've got a lot more things to play with than we did in 2016 in regards to how to bring this sport to life. So how the audience will see onboard footage and how they will be able to see a track in front of them as these speeders and multiple speeders are moving simultaneously around a visual track. So it's having these creative sessions in the company is hugely exciting, and we're working and hiring people in that space. And we've recently done a great deal with Telstra, who are a big telecommunications company in Australia, and they've got a lot of power in regards to how to bring this sport to life visually. So yeah, really exciting time at the moment on devising how this will look, but taking a lot of research and ideas from pop culture and traditional motorsport.
From what I've seen already, it looks hugely exciting. You know, the vehicle itself is really cool looking, which is obviously very, very important. But as you're talking about kind of getting it ready and designing circuits and designing a series from somebody's idea right through to bringing it to life with your partners and with the people within the organization, I know for in that design, you've been able to really think about your approach and your impact to the planet as well, and the sustainability, which is, I know it, starting up a new series, you have this opportunity to really embed it within the organization. So what's been the ethos behind, you know, the environmental and of course the social impact of the series as well?
So with sustainability, I mean, what, any new sport coming to market should be electric regardless. So we're not heavily pushing that party line, as it were, through our sport, because any new sport should be electric coming in, especially motorsport. But that being said, the whole world has a sustainability challenge at the moment to reduce consumption, raise awareness, you know, boosted appeal for electric powertrains and vehicles. And we feel that we're one of the innovative companies pushing for change. And I think for our sport, we need to make sure that we are less reliant on heavy infrastructure. So not relying on the older model of motorsport, which is mass spectators going to locations and consuming resources there. We want to reduce all of that. And also our vehicles are essentially pushing for a cleaner air mobility revolution. So they're vehicles that we want them to iterate. We want them to get better. We want them to push forward the capabilities of them. So one of the company's challenges is that we need to be the ambassador to the next iteration for companies coming into the sport. So take, for example, the four or five teams that we have signed up, they will come into the sport and help us iterate and change and become more sustainable. So they're given the opportunity in our sandbox to essentially, you know, reduce battery time. It's to improve quick release systems with batteries. It's to improve infrastructure around takeoff and landing. It's all of those things that we are that sandbox.
In terms of that electric power, can you talk to a little bit about some of those technologies and how those technologies, how some of those battery technologies can go into, I don't know, commercial airlining and commercial flight and things like that? Has there been anything that's been point A to point B in terms of what you're developing that can be used in the real world?
Yes. So one thing that's exciting me as a fan, as a punter, as a someone who will be driving an electric vehicle or electric flying vehicle in the future. One thing that really excites me is our pit stops. We need to change the batteries relatively quickly. So we need to have a quick release system to change battery. No one wants to spend 15 to 20 minutes waiting for a battery to be charged in the pit lane. So we need to create a system that's going to enable us to do that. But what that actually teaches us is that quick release systems could be a way forward for the automotive industry or the air taxi industry, or even the mopeds and electric motorcycles can utilize. So, you know, gone maybe the days of petrol stations or charging infrastructure when you are just renting battery packs from the side of the street, and you're a subscription service just like Netflix, where you just take out your battery and input another battery into your vehicle and away you go again, or you have a spare battery that you can do that within the vehicle that you're in. So the whole system we hope will change in regards to how vehicles are both built and also charged. And I think we can move that needle quite quickly when we're doing it at speed with multiple speeders in the air, multiple pit stops during a race, and we're getting into the sort of regularity of seeing how batteries can be swapped out and they're on the move again, at speed again, and there's no waiting around. And I think that's quite quite exciting, really, for all industries to utilize. But we need to test it.
Very, very much so. And it's one of the things that I think in terms of either circular economies or just generally decently sustainable economies is utilizing things as a service more than ownership, and having things that you can both, you know, use as a service, but then upgrade, uprate, and really get a lot more, I guess, utilization out of it, which is where that battery idea and using a power source as a service is something pretty unique and interesting, especially in the industries that we're talking about, whether it be sport, but also automotive or just personal mobility. Really, really interesting. In terms of the races, then, they're obviously in the sky. What can you share about, at this stage, the conceptualization of these races?
Well, we have two distinct properties. So we have EXA and we have Airspeeder. Airspeeder is the elder statesman. It's where we're all heading, which is crewed racing, in man or woman on board as pilots racing in teams. Think Formula One, Formula E, Extreme E, racing around the track. And that will be in the next 2 to 3 years. To get there, we need to create we have created a development series, a bit like Formula Two is to Formula One, where it's completely remote. And we need to do this with a lot more vigor, because we have to test both the capability of the speeder, but all the systems on board. So that is everything from collision avoidance systems, object detection and awareness, our LiDAR, all the cameras, et cetera, et cetera. And all speaks to how this sport will be viewed. And for us, the sport itself, the actual race itself, will be remotely piloted from ground stations. So a ground-based cockpit on actuators. The pilots will be wearing VR headsets. They'll be able to control the vehicles remotely from that simulator. Careful not to say simulator, but it is a simulated cockpit on the ground. It's ground-based cockpits. We need to find an acronym probably at the moment. So it's the EXA cockpit, and they will control the vehicles remotely. The actual viewer at home, highly exciting, but there'll be at least 5 to 10 speeders in the air going around a digital course that we'll have designed, and they will be racing across a expanse of about 1 to 3 kilometers in the sky. We're looking at 3 international events next year. I was hopeful of this year, but COVID, unfortunately, is a sort of Australian-based company, so we've struggled to be international, as everyone knows. So it's been our trial and tribulation. But we're looking at 3 international events next year, one in the US, one in the Middle East, and another one in Australia. But that will enable us to then start to shape what the Airspeeder series may look like in the future. So this is a pure test bed. We're holding our hands up and saying, look, we've created EXA as a development series, our alpha series, to test both the speeders, the teams, the pilots, the technology, the way that it looks and feels. And yeah, I mean, we hope that it will become its own championship series in the future, but it is a very much a test bed for Airspeeder, the crewed racing series that kicks off probably the end of 2022.
And it just underpins that this isn't just a flying car for the sake of it. There are lots of different real world applications for the technology and for the approaches that you're going to be developing out of Airspeeder, as you say, whether it be in the technology space, in the home delivery space, in the motorsport space, in the flying taxi space, all of which are going to get a great deal of information and intelligence and data and approaches, which ultimately should have this idea of making mobility that much more sustainable, which is I guess kind of the point.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's a lot of technology going into this, and there's companies queuing up to put technology, or at least test that technology within our systems, whether it is, like I say, collision avoidance systems or you know, safety systems, but also you know, broadcast systems as well. So there's a whole range, and I think that's what makes us quite unique. So yeah, it's super exciting.
Well, you can see a little bit as well in terms of some of the partnerships that you've already attracted to the development stage of the series. So you have organizations like IWC Schaffhausen, Acronis and DHL, all of whom are mainstays in elite motorsport one way or another. So what attracted them to Airspeeda and kind of how it supports their own overarching purpose?
So Acronis are was our first major partner into the sport, specifically as a partner, as a technical partner. And what they're offering and have offered us is the backup of all of our data. So telemetry data, first party data, and race data throughout the business. And one thing to sort of mention here is that these speeders, you know, with each with 22 sensors on them, we have a broadcast team inside the company. It is all about data. It's all about telemetry and pulling that all in. And we have to learn from that. So step one is bringing it all into the company and then it's sorting it and then it's learning from it. So, you know, the next step could be artificial intelligence and machine learning and just getting very advanced with how we use data analytics and telemetry. So Acronis are helping us do that with Technovate. From that point, it leads us nicely into racing next year. With DHL, it's purely a relationship around logistics. So as we hopefully the doors open to the rest of the world, we get to use a little bit more of DHL. But for DHL, you know, they're looking at solutions within drone delivery systems as well. So for them, it's an objective for them to become a lot more sustainable and learn as well. So they want to carry on working with us on the journey to a more electric drone delivery system future. That's probably the best way of putting it. And then with IWC as well, they're one of our key partners who are our timing and engineering partners. So they work with our engineering team quite closely from Switzerland to essentially build our proposition really within the engineering sector. So it's all about how to do things at a quality assurance level. So working with our teams to just be better, just to get to that next step. So we have to make that move up at a louder and Airspeeda into a more adolescent phase as a business, as a company, and IWC help us do that. But they also support us on the ground around timing and infrastructure there as well. And for them, it is they want to be seen absolutely as a company that sides with the technology of the future, as well as the history of the past. And I think we work very well with IWC. That they're a great support through all that process. So and we've also just added Telstra as well, which is a huge, like I say, telecommunications company who are helping us with 5G infrastructure. So when you're controlling a vehicle from a ground-based cockpit, you need 5G infrastructure to be able to do that, and you have to do that smartly. You have to do that with generators that are electric. You have to do that with the ambition to turn the product that you're filming on board into a more broadcast-centric product. And I think it's Telstra come with an incredible amount of experience in that area, and they're very keen on working with us on solving this huge undertaking, which is how do you create a more cleaner infrastructure around a motorsport, but also how do you build a 5G infrastructure within a remote location? How do you create a broadcast package that goes out to the world? And how do you then create effectively a sport and product around that? So yeah, hugely exciting partners that are coming in, and there's more to follow. We have another two before the end of the year is out to really push us into the next phase.
Where can people find out more about Airspeeda and your social media channels and things to follow?
Yeah, so airspeeda.com is a good place that has all our social channels on there. Instagram is if you want to see the flying vehicles and us building a sporting series around it. And we're always looking for, if you have pilot experience as well, so if you have FPV, male or female FPV experience for our training program. We have a training program that we're always looking for new pilots to sign up to. So have a look at that. But if you, head to our social channels on YouTube and Instagram, and it'll all make sense, hopefully.
Fantastic. Thank you. And what I'm going to take from that, from earlier in the conversation to what you've just said, is if you're any good at Wipeout, please apply to be a pilot in Airspeeda.
If you're really good at Wipeout, we'll find a way to challenge each other as well, because I'm quite good at that now.
Right, you're on. Fantastic. Stephen, great catching up with you. Great to hear more about Airspeeda and how it's developing. And it's definitely one of the most exciting things that I'm watching at the moment, just the development of the series. And I can't wait to see more, can't wait to find out more, can't wait to see who's going to be taking part and the location for the first races. Thank you so much for talking about it.
Thanks.